Hello, everybody, and welcome back to episode number 46 of the Big Apple Sports Media Podcast. I'm Anthony Evangelist, and as always, I'm joined here by Kyle Keegan. How are you today, Kyle?
I don't know why you were just saying it was episode 90, but right before we started the show, it was like, what episode is it? And I was like, it's episode 46. He was like, I'm pretty sure it's 90. It's 90. It's 90. And then he introduced it as 46. So if that made any sense, Anthony was screwing around with me, but I'm good.
You just wasted the first 20 seconds of the pod to talk about something extremely irrelevant.
You know what? You do that every time because you do have the same intro every time.
Okay, well, you know what? Let's just get right.
I lied. I like your intro.
So this past week for New York sports has been
good news. I think it was a good week, right?
You don't ever shut Stop. Up. No. No, it has been a good week, though, in terms of Mets baseball, in terms of Yankees baseball, in terms of Knicks basketball. It's been solid. Knicks have been a little on and off, but today was a very...
Today's win made it a good week.
Exactly. And you know what? Let's just get right into that first. We'll talk basketball first then. So the Knicks have lost the past two, and then they won today. The past two losses were brutal. Like, there's no other way to put it. That Nuggets game I was watching, and that was so rough to watch just because, I mean, they were down like, what, 24 to like 5?
Horrible first quarter.
In a horrible first quarter, and they just couldn't.
They played fine. The whole last 36 minutes of the game, they just got in such a hole that they could never come back from.
Exactly. And, you know, like, I guess those kind of games happen. It's when you're playing the MVP, and, I mean, Austin Rivers having his revenge game didn't really help.
Of course that had. That's just so Knicks, man. I mean, that we haven't even been able to say that much this year. It's like, that's so Knicks because they've been good. But
yeah. I mean, look, I think that – what's it called? This Knicks team, in terms of consistency, has done a lot better than they did.
Better recently.
They've been much more consistent recently, which I've liked to see. And that's not just with winning. That's with RJ shooting. That's with Randall's playing a little more inconsistent. But in terms of Reggie Bullock's been an absolute monster after the All-Star break. We talked about that before, but especially recently. He put up 24 today. Just really solid play where this Knicks team has been much more consistent. And that's why they beat the Clippers today. I mean, overall, today was such a solid win. I mean, D. Rose, I am in love with. But that's not the point.
I think I'm not worried about like Julius Randle's still averaging 24, 10, and 6. Like, he's allowed to have off games, and today he did not play well, and he hit three huge shots down the stretch, and put the Clippers away essentially. So I'm not really worried about Julius Randle because he's going to be there when we need him. But like you said, Reggie Bullock had a huge game today. Derrick Rose once again just enormous off the bench. And you know, at this point now they're 3-2 on the road trip. We said we'd be happy with 3-3. If they can beat the Lakers, which, you know, Lakers have been stumbling, then that's a really successful road trip, 4-2. And they're still in fourth with four games to go. And obviously if they go 4-0, they lock up the four seed. I think the magic number is 2 to make a playoff spot to avoid the play-in. I think a Knicks win, two Knicks wins, or a Knicks win and a Celtic loss puts the Knicks in the top six no matter what, which is awesome.
I really think that the Knicks right now already have a top six spot locked up.
Pretty much.
And, like, obviously I don't want to jinx anything because that last game is going to be really crucial for that. But in terms of right now, I don't think
the Celtics are going to pass us at this point.
But it's – yeah, I know. I don't either. But just, you know what, just to kind of be realistic because Knicks luck in general – so the Knicks are currently one game ahead of the Hawks and the Heat. I'm pretty sure. I think, yeah. Man, so they're 38-30. Hawks and Heat are 37-31, and then the Celtics are three games behind.
Yeah, I want the Hawks to finish ahead of the Heat.
Yes, me too. I'd much rather play the Hawks than the Heat. But I think in terms of our upcoming schedule, we have four games left. We play Lakers, and then we have our home stretch with San Antonio, Charlotte, and Boston. All three of those are winnable games, but I think
all four of those are winnable games. They could go 4-0.
Yes, and I think that even if they were to only win two of those, they'd be okay for the 4 or 5 seed. I think that's a little – it's going to be a little tight depending on how
– I mean, that's assuming Atlanta goes 3-1. They would still be in the 4-5 there.
Okay, so I'm just going to look at the Heat schedule for this next.
A tougher schedule. The Heat have to play the Bucks, the Sixers, and the Celtics.
Okay, so tomorrow.
And then they have Detroit.
So on Tuesday, the Heat play in Boston, which is going to be a huge game.
I think we're rooting for the Celtics on Tuesday.
Yes, I completely agree.
So I think we're rooting for the Celtics Tuesday, and then they have the Sixers and the Bucks. So hopefully the Sixers still have something to play for at that point. I don't know, the Sixers are kind of running away with the one seed.
Yeah.
And the Bucks are definitely going to be battling with Brooklyn for the 2-3. So.
And then their last game of the season is in Detroit. That should be an easy win.
Yeah.
So Heat realistically could go 1-3, 2-2. And I don't want to say.
Yeah, but they could also go. I think the best the Heat can do is go 3-1. I think that it would be extremely tough for them to beat both Philly. Like, if they can. I think the most they get out of the next three is 2-2-1.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they go 3-0 against Boston, Milwaukee, and Philly, first of all, we're in trouble because we'd probably have to play them in round one, so we'd be in trouble. And then second of all, that's just, like, they'd probably pass us in the standings.
Yeah, no.
Unless we win out, too. I mean, I don't know if LeBron's – the thing is, we don't know what the deal is with LeBron on Tuesday, and, like, even if he plays, like, we don't know what kind of impact he's going to have. Like, no matter what, they need to go out and win on Tuesday.
Yes. And, you know, I'm looking at Atlanta's schedule. So, Atlanta plays
– That's an easy schedule, man.
Okay. Atlanta's playing Washington their next two games. And obviously, Washington isn't as good of a team as it could have been. But this Washington team is still playing
– The last month, they've been playing really good basketball.
Exactly. And they're playing for a play-in spot. So, these aren't just easy wins.
Well, they're playing to get into the 7-8 game right now. Because right now, they're the 9.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're going to be in the play-in tournament. And I think that they might be the most dangerous team in that play-in tournament just because they have Beal and – but Beal's not playing tomorrow against Atlanta, which sucks.
Oh, that's annoying. I didn't even realize that.
That's really annoying.
And then – so those are the two games against the Wizards. And then they have Magic and Houston, which are both really easy games for Atlanta to win.
Us having the tiebreaker over Atlanta is huge.
Definitely.
We can lose one more game than them and still finish ahead of them. But Atlanta's going to go at worst 2-2.
Yeah. No, I can't see them going any lower than that. And you know what? Here's the good part about this, though. So I know you said we have the tiebreaker. So if we end up going 3-1 and they end up going 4-0 or whatever the case may be, like, we're still in the lead. But even if we don't end up with that, I'm okay with being the 5 seed playing a 4 seed Hawks.
I'd rather be 5 seed versus 4 seed Hawks than 4 seed versus 5 seed Heat, dude.
Yeah, no, me too. Because you know what? I mean, realistically, what are the odds that it goes to a game 7 anyway?
Yeah, I know.
And home court advantage obviously isn't.
Listen, man. The fact that there's 4 games left and we're clinging on to a sole possession of fourth is awesome. But like you just said, having a potential game 7 at home is so important, especially in the Madison Square Garden crowd, dude. Like,
definitely.
That could be such an advantage.
And, like, you know what, just to spread some positivity at least. So right now the Knicks are 1 win or 1 Celtics loss away from clinching a playoff spot. So, and
wait, is it the magic number is 1? Hold on.
I'm pretty sure because okay. It's 7, 8, 9, 10 for the play-in tournament, right?
Yeah, but the thing is, we don't have a tiebreaker with Boston yet because we haven't played the final game. So even if
that's right.
Wait, but
no, but I think even if we win one more, then it doesn't matter.
If we win one more, we'll have 39 wins. At which point, the most that Boston can get to is still 39. So if we both finish with 39 and they beat us next Sunday, they finish ahead of us. So I think it is a Knicks win and a Celtics loss. I think it's still technically 2.
Okay.
Because of tiebreakers. So if we win Tuesday, we play after the Celtics. So I think even though like a Celtics loss plus a Knicks win Tuesday gives us a top 6, I'm still rooting for Boston Tuesday night because I want to be as ahead of Miami as possible.
Yeah, no, me as well. I feel like these next two games for the Knicks are the most important out of these four because I feel like if you're able to come out of
LA, San Antonio?
Yes, because if you're able to just come out, I know that the Celtics are a big game to play against, but if the Knicks come out of this little stretch 2-0, then they'll be so much more set in terms of having a playoff spot already clinched because 2 wins is going to get it. Then from there, we'll have a much better understanding of where the Hawks, the Celtics, and Heat are going to be.
Then we're playing for seeding that last weekend.
Exactly.
Charlotte and Boston. I agree. I'd rather be playing for seeding knowing that we're going to be in the top six. In fact, we're not going to know. At this point, the likelihood is the Knicks are going to finish in the 4-6 range. We just want to be in that 4-5.
Yeah.
And I guess we're also hoping that Miami is the 6.
Look,
I'm going to be black and white about this. I don't want to play the Heat if we don't have to. Not in the first round. I mean, the Heat just have had our number.
Yeah, I don't know.
And the Hawks are good, but the Heat have had our number.
Okay. I mean, I don't want to be nitpicky. Like, if the Knicks are able to hold on to a 4 or 5 seed, I'll be okay, regardless of if they're playing Heat, Celtics, or Hawks. I don't think it's going to be
the Celtics at this point, but yeah, yeah, I agree.
I would much rather prefer a Knicks-Hawks series, regardless of what the seeding is. But I have faith in this Knicks team, which honestly, like a month ago, I knew that they were going to make the playoffs. I wasn't as skeptical as I was.
Yeah, after that Atlanta win, I think we were like, all right. Like the overtime win that made it 7 straight, we were like, or 8 straight or whatever.
This is the playoff team.
Yes. And
from there, like, this is a team that could win games in the playoffs. And I'm not saying that this team is going to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals and then upset the Nets and make it to the finals and win. But I could see this team going into the second round, at least.
I see it as well. I'm not 100% certain it's going to happen, but
me either. I'm not either.
I have that level of confidence that no matter who we play in the 4-5, whether it be Atlanta or Miami, that it looks good. You know, like.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely, definitely. Is there anything else you want to say on the Knicks before we head over to baseball?
I mean, it was a big win today, and you know. We're going to be closely monitoring. I think we will have another show sometime this week before the last two, the Saturday, Sunday. Like maybe we'll record Thursday after the San Antonio game. I think that would be smart.
Mm.
But I mean, it's big time. It's big nervous time. Like this is a legit playoff race. And I'd say 3-1 has to get you the 4, right?
Yeah, I can't. I think 2-2 could potentially get us a 4.
It could, but I think that 3-1 like pretty much solidifies like because that.
Well, I know at that point it does. 3-1
and Miami goes 4-0, we get the 5. But I don't think Miami's going to go 4-0.
Yeah, and if same thing like if Atlanta goes 4-0, then we still have the
advantage. If we go 3-1, we're still ahead of them. So, I think 3-1 at this point gets you the 4.
Yeah. Definitely.
I like if they go 3-1 and don't get the 4, it's not on them.
No, definitely. And like honestly,
but they can win all 4 of these games. They really can. They really can win all 4, man.
I'll be happy with a 4 or 5 slot no matter who they're playing. That's all I'm going to say. I know that the Heat are a much more dangerous team than the Heat made it
to the finals last year. They have more star power and more experience. They have a Hall of Fame head coach, and they've had our number. Like, the Heat are a scary team, no matter who they play. The Heat are a scary team to the Bucks if they play the Bucks. I mean, dare I say that if the Nets dropped to the 3, the Nets wouldn't want to play a team like the Heat.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I wouldn't.
I mean, the Heat are just that team. Like,
are the Nets really going to be healthy? Like, I know that right now they're on track to be healthy, but still, Harden's a question mark. You never know with these guys because Kyrie might just take a random trip around the world.
Like, I hate to say this because I hate injuries in any sport, but, like, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, during the playoff run something comes up. Like, at this point, James Harden seems to be shooting. Like, he says he'll be back for the end of the regular season, but, like, there's a week left. I think that the smartest move for James Harden at this point, because the Nets are technically, for some reason, a New York team, so we should talk about this a little bit. I think that the best bet for James Harden is aim to come back in the second round.
Yeah.
Right?
Probably.
Because the Nets are going to win their first round series. Aim to come back when you have to play Milwaukee or whoever it is. The way it's set up, the Nets will probably play the Bucks in the second round. and you're going to need all that firepower, because the Bucks are a good team, dude. And they've been playing it. They've been playing like it as of late. Because I remember a couple weeks ago, like during our big 9-game win streak, everyone was like, could we catch the Bucks? Could we catch the Bucks? And maybe we could have if they weren't also playing great basketball the last month. But they were, because they're a really good team too. And Giannis is playing another MVP caliber season. And it's just not going recognized because he's already won the last two. I mean, right? Like, don't you think Giannis has been playing great?
Yeah, I mean, look, Giannis is always going to be an absolute threat, regardless of what his stats are, what he played like
the last game. 28, 12, and 6.
Like that's still insane.
And he's an athletic freak.
Okay, so, like, let's say the Knicks end up getting matched up with the Bucks at some point. Who on the Knicks would be able to guard him? Because you'd probably end up
having – Noel would be the matchup.
You
think? It would have to be Nerlens Noel. They're not going to put Reggie on him. It'd be Julius or Nerlens Noel.
Yeah.
We're not getting Mitch back, are we?
I don't think so. There's been nothing about him or
that sucks, dude. And you know, it would suck more if Mitch and Taj, Nerlens and Taj hadn't been playing so great. But dude, that's such a blow. I mean, that's your offense from the five, man. Because Nerlens isn't giving us any offense. Taj isn't really giving us much offense. Man, that stinks.
Yeah. I mean, we just got to hope for the best. And I mean, Noel has done an absolute great job in his place, but it would be very nice if we had that extra help for in our center position, especially with the teams that we could be playing.
Yeah. Like, if we do get past that first round and we get the Sixers, like, you want as much help as possible in the five spot on Joel Embiid, who is one of the best centers in the league.
Yeah, and like even in the first round,
like Clint Capella.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Hawks have Clint Capella. Heat have, I mean, obviously Randle could guard someone like Bam, but
Bam's a stud.
It's still good to have that paint presence, and someone like a Mitchell Robinson is really needed for the chance to have this deep playoff run.
Nerlens and Taj have been great.
Don't get me wrong. They have been great.
They've been really good. They've played their roles perfectly, but to have just more depth would just be great. And whatever's going on with IQ and Burks, that needs to be sorted out because we need those guys. That's a bunch of offense you're leaving on the table. That's like, I don't know who scored the points in their place today. I know D-Rose and Bullock put up a bunch of points, but like, Reggie Bullock's not going to be scoring 24 for you every game. Like,
no, definitely not.
You count on Quickly and Burks to get you like a cumulative like 28, 29, 30 points every game.
Hold on. What's the timeline on Quickly's injury? Is he going to be back this week?
It sounds like day to day, the way they're talking about it, but I wouldn't be surprised if both of them played Tuesday, but I wouldn't be surprised if neither of them do. I think they'll both be back by Thursday, knock on wood, but, I don't know. What I've seen, it seems pretty day-to-day. I hope it's day-to-day.
I also hope it's day-to-day. And also, Alec Burks was out today, right? I can't speak.
IQ. We were losing. Yeah. Bench, which played well, was losing. I mean, that's why we lost against the Suns.
Yes.
We got blown out in the fourth because everyone was gassed because we weren't getting enough offense from our bench. Circa, Burks, and IQ, two of our best scorers off the bench not playing.
All right. Anything else for Knicks before we head over to baseball?
I mean, those guys got to get healthy, and I don't know. Hope for the best. I mean, 3-1 will get you a 4 seed, I think. And we'll talk about it before the regular season ends because I'm going next Sunday to the Boston.
I know, that's so sick.
You should, dude, get a ticket.
Yeah, I'll just drop 400 real quick.
Just get a ticket, dude.
Not everyone is rich and spoiled like you, Kyle Keegan.
Shut up. Dude, I don't even know what you mean by that.
No, I don't actually mean anything.
LOL. All right, baseball.
Baseball.
That's a 1-5 in a row. Right?
The Mets are on a 5-game winning streak. That is correct.
And the Yankees won 7 of 9 on their homestand, so good vibes only.
No, and genuinely, like, over the past week or so, we've seen a very big increase in terms of happiness of Mets and Yankees fans. Cause
everyone's kind of calming down a little bit.
Exactly. Cause like there was a lot of room for concern, and obviously it was a little short lived in terms of some of the issues, but
I mean, I'm one of the main culprits of the sky is falling every time the Yankees suck.
Of course. But like, I don't blame you.
Nothing but tweet negative things about the Yankees, and it's really unhealthy because I do nothing but tweet positive things about the Knicks.
Have you ever considered meditating?
Because I hold the Knicks and Yankees to different standards, but whatever. Like, who cares?
Have you ever considered meditation?
I pray. I don't know.
Okay. Well, no, just getting back. Okay. Enough with that. So in terms of the Mets, like going over some of the things from last week that were a bit of an issue. I mean, obviously there's always going to be the bullpen issue with the Mets because who else, but the Mets, but
no, the Mets are good. Stop.
I've been very happy. It's no more Will Pond's sadness.
I told you that the Mets were good, and look at that. The Mets are good. It's almost like
you know everything.
It's almost like I know baseball because the Mets are in first place.
The Mets are in first place. And you know what? Like going over this week, they have all been solid wins. Like obviously the whole
Lindor came through.
Exactly. That's what I was about to say. So last week we were like, I was concerned about Lindor. Lindor has not been performing at all this season. And all of a sudden this week,
Lindor was always going to be fine, but I get why Mets fans were.
Exactly. I mean, like, look, because when you have someone that's coming to your team for the first time in a new environment and he's not performing and
he's getting paid that much.
So much. Yeah, exactly. You're going to get worried in that sense. And like, I want to hear your stance on the whole Judge situation right now. Cause Judge really hasn't been playing up to his par. At least at bat.
He's going to be fine. As long as he stays healthy, he's going to still have a 30-plus homer season. He's gonna get like a 360, 370 on base percentage because he works his walks with like a 900 OPS, 850 OPS. He's going to be fine. You know, like it's just impossible for Stanton and Judge to both be good at the same time. So I'm not worried. Whenever Stanton cools off, and he got a walk-off hit today,
I didn't see that until just now. I was looking at.
Yeah, it was just he hit that hard, man. He smacked that ball, but yeah. I mean, I'm not worried about Judge. I'm not, and I'm a main culprit of being. I'm worried about guys like Gleyber Torres before he homered today and had his walk off hit yesterday. Like, I was really worried about Gleyber Torres. I'm not worried about LeMahieu. I think he'll pick it up.
I wouldn't be either. I really think it's just like an early season slump where it's not something to be.
We say slump, but he's not batting 290. Like, because he batted 360 last year. So, like, he just signed a big contract. And, like, guys like that I'm, like, worried about is, like, Gary Sanchez sucking is very annoying because he's just been bad for, like, 4 years now. What else? The starting pitching has been better, but it's still not enough to win a championship. So, whatever. Be that with you. Aaron Hicks has been bad. We're not getting nearly enough production from left and center field because Clint hasn't been good enough, and Gardner is not good, even though everyone seems to tell me he's great, and Aaron Hicks has been horrible. But help is on the way because Luke Voit will be back this week. So, I mean, what people are forgetting is the Yankees – have for the first, like, their offense has been bad, but they're getting back the major league leader in home runs from last year. He hasn't been in their lineup the first month, and now they're getting him back. Like, that could be a huge spark plug, you know what I mean? And he's been smacking the cover off the ball in his rehab assignment in Scranton. He had like 4 home runs in like 6 days, so that's gonna be a huge lift. It really is.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely. And I mean, just kind of like going off of what you said, I don't know. Like, in terms of the Yankees team this year, it's a lot different than I feel like past years have been, just because obviously slow start, whatever. But doesn't this really happen every year for the Yankees?
Yeah, but it lasted a little longer this year. I mean, I think the Yankees are not, as the way they're constructed now, a World Series caliber team, just because if they were, they would have won it last year, the year before, or at least made it. So they have some other stuff to fix up, but this is a playoff team. Like, and the playoffs really are a crapshoot in baseball. So, and like, I look around the league and I see like the Dodgers are struggling, and like really good teams on paper have just been not very good. You know, like the Padres have been struggling. Like, no one's standing out except the Red Sox, which is
I really feel like that's just been because of how, like, I don't want to say
offense as a whole is down big time this year.
That's what I was about to say, because the way that pitching has, like, kind of improved, I know that obviously COVID,
I think whatever, they dead balls again too a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know.
They might have. Who knows? But
it's definitely been different from previous years.
Offense is definitely down. That's no secret.
I agree with that. I've noticed that just from, like, watching games from not even Mets and Yankees, but just in general.
Yeah, no, all around. I mean, the Dodgers are 18 and 17.
That's crazy.
Like, the Yankees have a half game back now. Like, I mean, it's weird. It's been a weird start to the year. Like, but, like, at the end of the day, like, I expect the Yankees and Mets to both finish with 90 plus wins in first place in their division. Like,
I hope so.
I'm pretty certain of it. Like, last year I would always, like, say, like, just to, like, screw around with you, like, oh, the Mets are going to be fine. Like, no, the Mets are good this year. Like, they're actually a good team. Like,
and look, in terms of, like,
Carrasco or Syndergaard yet. Like,
and in terms of the whole DeGrom thing, like, I know you said it right before we started. It's not something to be worried about.
Not in his arm, which is
exactly
very big. Like, if it was in his arm, like, if he had elbow tightness or shoulder tightness, that's one thing. It's in his back. Like, that sucks. Like, shut him down for 2 weeks. And, like, you know what I mean? Like, why not? It's May. Like, you're going to have to shut him down at some point anyway if you expect him to be pitching in October, even though he's a complete workhorse. It's like.
No, I agree. Like, especially with him, like, I know
he's not. The worst thing in the world for him to go on the 15-day or the 10-day IL, like, miss a start or two. Like.
That's fine, man. Like. With the Mets, you need to just make sure that no matter what, DeGrom is healthy and ready for the playoffs. Because, you know, obviously regular season is important, but any time before then, like, I don't want to push him in the sense where I know stats are cool and stats aren't whatever, but stats aren't everything.
He doesn't need to win another Cy Young.
Exactly. I think he's already, like, proven himself to be one of the best pitchers over the past decade. Where
I agree.
I don't know. I feel like although it would be cool, it's not necessary for him, where I'd much rather have him 100% for the playoffs than have him win a Cy Young and then get knocked out in the wild card or something like that.
Yeah,
I don't think the Mets are a wild card team, but just the idea.
The Mets are the best team in the National League East on paper. Like, they should win that division.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I wouldn't be worried. I mean, is this the second time he's been, like, had something?
Well, he had the at least for this season, like, 2 days ago-ish, he had the lat tightness thing. And then this, I think, is similar, but I don't know. I'm not concerned, though.
I mean, all I know is you want your guy with a 0.5 ERA to be healthy in October.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if he misses a start in May against, like, whoever the Mets are going to play. Like, if he misses a start in May against, like the Brewers or, like, the Rockies, like, who cares?
I'm going to the Mets-Rockies game, I think.
Oh, well, you won't see. Is that coming up, or is that later in the month?
No, it's 20. I think the series starts, like, 24th, but I'm going the 27th.
Oh, okay, gotcha. I'm looking at the schedule now. Oh, you're going to a day game? That game's at noon.
Yeah, day game.
Kind of far.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you get my point, like, DeGrom's – you need DeGrom to be there, like, in the big moments. Like, you want DeGrom pitching against the Phillies on August 10th when you're fighting for a playoff spot, or, like, for first place. You want DeGrom pitching on October 3rd against the Dodgers in game one of the NLDS. Like,
exactly.
He's going to miss a start against the Marlins on May 15th, so be it. You know, like, that's the way I see it, at least.
No, like, I completely agree with that.
Having all his, he's got to have, like, all the ducks in a row in October, and he's fine. So
I'm excited for this baseball playoff. I know it's far, but I don't know.
It's still far. We have summer. Dude, we have summer, okay?
Yeah, no, I can't skip over summer in the sense of, like, I want, in terms, not even baseball, just summer in general. Like, I don't want to say.
It's going to be being played in, like, the middle of July. It's still kind of, still it's cool. Like, I think that's great.
Very cool.
Like, honestly, I was saying this the other day to someone. Like, if the NBA, like, started their season in, like, around Christmas and had their NBA finals in, like, July, I don't know. I kind of like that.
Yeah. But
then I guess it'd only be football in October. I mean, in November, so.
Yeah, you got to see both sides of the story.
Yeah, I do. I don't know. I just think it's cool. Like, the playoffs kind of going into the summer. I don't know. I kind of messed with that the last 2 years, I guess.
Okay, so kind of just, I mean, before we end the episode, so you know how I said that thing about Mitchell Robinson hitting up one of my friends?
Oh, yeah.
Well, on his private
story now.
What?
It's like a recurring story for the show.
Yes, well, on his private snap or whatever it is, he, and this is quoted, he's been on his bed or working on his truck every day. I'm going to take a shot in the dark and saying he's not really working too hard towards coming back. So maybe that's just some inside intel for the pod, but yeah, no, I don't really know about Mitch.
Is this person a female?
Yes.
And she's talking to Mitchell Robinson.
It's a really long story, man.
How old is she?
18.
All right, that's enough of this conversation. That is enough. We do not need our star. No, that is our star center. Absolutely not. I mean, I know Mitch is 23.
Okay, enough. We're not talking about this now. I want to say thank you to all of you for listening to this episode. If you want to follow us, I'm Anthony Evangelista on Instagram, AnthonyEV7 on Twitter. If you want to follow us, we're at Big Apple Sports Media on Instagram and TikTok, at Big Apple SP Media on Twitter. If you want to follow Kyle, it's Kyle Keegan, but the L is a one. Kyle E Keegan. I almost messed it up again. Yeah, that's about it.
Mitch, get off your truck and come play center for the Knicks.
That's enough. Goodbye.
Love you guys. Thank you.